The Virtue of Chastity, a talk by Lamar Edwards and Katie Payne at Eyewitness 2014, held in Coleroy, Sydney.
Okay, thank you, Claire, and good morning, Eyewitness. Who is excited for a little bit of the Virtue of Chastity? Okay, I'm very excited for this. And I want to start by introducing the Culture Project by painting a picture for you. And that is the picture that drives me in this mission and this message. And that is the call from our Holy Fathers. And if we backtrack a little bit to the awesome Saint John Paul II, he said, "Do not be afraid to be the saints of the new millennium." That quote captured my heart. And I thought, okay, what do I need to do to become a saint if that's what I'm created and called to? So having said that, a little bit after, Pope Benedict said, "You were not created for the comfort of this world. You were created for greatness." Pope Francis tells us, "Ask Jesus what he wants from you and be brave." Ladies and gentlemen, today it is my honor to introduce to you the Culture Project, a movement of young people who have embraced this call, recognized that they were created for more than what this culture is offering to them, and have asked Jesus what he wants from them, and have been very brave in answering the call to devote a year of their life to restoring our culture very actively through the awesome missionary program. So the Culture Project is really essentially a group of friends set out to restore our culture, to invigorate our culture with authentic love and the beauty of life. So we have today Katie and Lamar, all the way from America. So I had the privilege of working and living in community with these beautiful young men and women while I was in America doing my year of mission last year. So my life has been transformed and touched by these young people, and I hope that today you will experience the same encounter. At the table, I want to invite you at the table. We have a Culture Project table at the back there. Come and see us throughout the duration of the weekend. We'd love to talk to you more. We have an event on Monday night, the last Culture Project event with the Americans, on Monday night at CYS in Homebush, starting at 7 p.m. You are all very welcome. I want to invite you quickly to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and look up our website on Google. Just Google The Culture Project or restoreculture.com. The reason I'm telling you all of this is because we are very, very excited to be working on setting up The Culture Project in Sydney. This is incredibly exciting for our church, for our community, and essentially for our culture. So please keep this in your prayers. Please sign up, stay involved, and I really, really pray that your heart is captured by this message. So I would love to introduce quickly our team. We have Dave taking photos. Many of you would have met Dave and encountered his infectious laugh. We have the beautiful Christina. She is our executive director, so she will really be helping me and everyone in Sydney pioneer this. And we have, very, very excited to announce, we have two Australian missionaries ready to start next year. So Chris and Francis, could you stand up, please? There they are. Your first Australian Culture Project missionaries. And so without further ado, I would love to invite Lamar and Katie. Lamar and Katie are both dear friends of mine. Lamar is from New Orleans, Louisiana, so enjoy his accent. And the lovely Katie is from Nashville, Tennessee. So here's Lamar and Katie.
Ow! What's up, Australia? This is awesome. I'm so excited. So my name's Lamar. I'm 26. I just turned 26. My birthday was on Thursday. Never would have thought I would spend my birthday in Australia, but it was awesome. And like Maddie said, I'm from Louisiana. My hobbies include running and playing music. I love the guitar. I love the piano. I love beer. Beer is very popular in America. Is it popular in Australia? Oh, yeah. I love beer. A little bit of a home brewer myself. It's a sweet, sweet hobby. That's pretty much me in like 30 seconds. But I'd love to to let Katie introduce herself to you too.
Hello, my name is Katie Payne. As Maddie told you, I'm mostly from Nashville, Tennessee. I was an Army brat, so in the United States, that means you move around all the time. But I am 23. I graduated uni about a year and a half ago and entered right into mission. And I'm so happy doing this mission. It would be weird to say that that was my hobby, but I love the fact that my work doesn't feel like work. It really is beautiful and fun. And I love to run, I love to travel and to be outdoors, and to be with beautiful people like you is such a privilege. So we're very thrilled to be here.
Praise God. So before we jump into this presentation, why don't we just say a prayer together? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You're welcome to stand if you like. Come, Holy Spirit, come by the power of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Blessed Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters in this room. I ask that you would open our hearts to be in store to whatever it is you have for us today. Let us be open to your will, to your love, and to transformation in you. And we pray this all under the protection of our Blessed Mother as we say together, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. St. John Paul II, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow. What an honor it is to be here. We got here on the 3rd of December from the States. It was a long flight for us. It was about 14 hours. It was terrible, but cool because Qantas, you guys like fly Qantas, is that's like the Australian airline. Super sweet. In America, they give us like these boring meals, and you guys have like this braised beef and sauteed vegetables and all this. And I'm like, what? This is wild. But it was awesome. And we're getting adjusting to the time difference. It's totally not a big deal anymore. I sleep like a normal person again. And I'm still actually getting used to all of the differences. Not all, it's not too many, but a lot of the differences that exist between me and us in America and you guys here in Australia. Mainly in some of the ways that you guys speak and the words you guys use and things like that. And it's actually really awesome. I kind of love it. I kind of have a jealousy as to like your accents and the cool words that you use for everything. For example, something that really threw me off when I first got here was when I went to the bathroom. And like in America, you go to the bathroom and you just kind of like push this little lever and the toilet does what it needs to do. But you guys have like buttons. And there's not just one button, but there's like two buttons. And I'm like, what do these buttons mean? One gets water, but what does the other one do? And I thought like a monster was going to come out or something. It was so strange. And then, I was actually embarrassed because I spoke. Some of y'all actually here. I spoke at, Katie and I spoke at Our Lady of Lebanon maybe like a week or so ago. And we had a blast hanging out there, man. It was sweet. But I was really embarrassed because we're staying with Madeline's family, the Vellas. And they're so good to us. So amazing. A beautiful family. And when I got picked up by Maddie's mother, Miss Lorraine, she's like, come on, we gotta go, we gotta beat the traffic, we gotta do all this. I'm like, all right. So I'm running in the car, I've got like all my bags. We get into the car, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, we've gotta bypass all of this schmuzzle. And I'm like, oh, sweet, schmuzzle. Never heard that word before. So I'm thinking that just means traffic. So then when we're at Our Lady of Lebanon, we've got like 150 teenagers in the room, and I'm like, guys, like I'm learning your language. I know what's up. I'm like, the other day we were driving and like we were passing up all of the schmuzzle. And they all just started pointing at me and laughing. And I was so embarrassed. But I was like, I'm trying, guys, I'm trying. But all I can say though is that I am so grateful. We're all so grateful for the warm welcome that all of you have offered us. Everyone has been so friendly and so authentic and welcoming to us. So thank you so much for that. It's really an honor to be here. And Maddie gave us such a great introduction, a very passionate introduction. that made us sound like we were saints. And I'm not a saint, man. If anything, I really believe that. Even though I came from America, big deal. I'm just like you. I'm a human with a heart. I think I'm normal. I have desires, and I want to be happy in life. And I just happen to believe that this virtue called chastity is what will bring me sweet, long-lasting happiness in whatever vocation God has invited me to. And so I'm here not to share with you as an expert, but to share with you as a friend and fellow Christian on the journey to sanctity and to heaven. I want to start by telling you a story about a man from the United States. His name is Kyle Carpenter. He was a corporal in the United States Marines. He's a big, like, warrior, soldier guy, and they go through all this intense training to be able to withstand a lot of fear and doubt to defend their country. And Corporal Kyle Carpenter was with a bunch of his fellow comrades in Afghanistan, and they were in the midst of a lot of war and terror, and they were scared. And they were all in this kind of complex. Think of, like, this kind of clay, old clay house, and his whole team is under, in the inside of the complex, but Kyle Carpenter is on top, on the roof, keeping watch with one of his other fellow Marines. And it seemed pretty peaceful for a long while, and then all of a sudden, random, rapid gunfire just started getting thrown at them from all different directions. And so they started, like, scoping and trying to find the enemy to try to protect not only themselves, but all of their teammates, all of their comrades downstairs in the complex. And while they were keeping watch and trying to defend where they were, all of a sudden a grenade was thrown onto the roof. And Corporal Kyle Carpenter had a split second to do something. He could have kicked the grenade. He could have taken it and tried to throw it back to the enemy. But you know what he did? He actually, with his body, jumped on top of the grenade and took the blast with himself to defend and protect the life of his fellow Marine and the lives of all of those men inside the complex. What a man. I would like to be that kind of man one day. Now, most people who jump on top of a grenade would die. But by a miraculous turn of events, Corporal Kyle Carpenter actually lived. Now, he's experienced a tremendous amount of damage to himself. You can see the scars. He lost vision in one eye. He had a lot of shrapnel and all sorts of sharp objects and dirt, and you name it. It was like all in his side, his leg, his arm. He had many, many surgeries to overcome. But I want to be that kind of guy. I don't know if a grenade hopped in this room right now. I don't know if I would jump on it to save your life. But I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. I want to say that I would do that. And the beauty about this is now Corporal Kyle Carpenter, earlier this year, was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Obama, an award that is given to many men who actually have died in battle. Not many who have lived have seen this beautiful award be given to them. He is one of few. Now, the cool thing about this is that Corporal Kyle Carpenter maybe could have done that on a whim. But to become a Marine, to become a soldier in any country, you go through a vast amount of training. Lots and lots and lots of rigorous, rigorous training. And in the Marines especially, these guys are taught that the person to your left and the person to your right is your brother and your sister. Whatever it takes to defend them, you must do. They are trained to see that relationship. And it is that training that enabled Corporal Kyle Carpenter to do something heroic. And if there's one thing that this world needs, it's heroes. We are all here this weekend because virtue is the training ground for sainthood. Virtue is how we achieve sanctity. How we fall in love every day, over and over, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with Our Lady, and with the church. Virtue, virtue, virtue. This is amazing. This is awesome. And the definition of virtue is just making a habit out of doing the good. It is choosing to do the good constantly, not just once, not just twice, but to see what is good and to choose it every day, like a training ground, every day, making that decision, so that one day when you or I are faced with a big decision, we will choose to be heroes. This is what virtue is all about. Sounds pretty cool, huh? I want that. The beautiful thing about virtue is that I believe it's very humanizing. Too many people think, oh, virtue, I have to like follow the laws of the church and I have to do what's right. It's like a hindrance on me. It makes me do something that I don't want to do. It makes me less of myself. St. Catherine of Siena said, become what you were created to be and you will set the world on fire. Fire is what? Light. You will be light. Live the life of virtue and you will set the world on fire. You see, the saints, the men and women who we admire, who we look up to, we all have devotions. We all have those favorite saints who have touched our lives, transformed us, make us want to be like them. They're all different. Living a life of virtue doesn't destroy our desires. It doesn't make us less of ourselves. It makes us more of ourselves, more of who we're created to be. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's what I want to be. You see, there's not necessarily this complex formula for sanctity. It's virtue. Always guided and invited by the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to talk a little bit, just for a few moments, about desire. We're going to talk about chastity. Don't you worry. But I want to lay a foundation so that when we go there, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. Because chastity, just like all the virtues, actually, are so tied up and enraptured with our human desire. Desire is a very beautiful thing. Desire is when we just want something because there's a perceived good that will come from obtaining it. And that good might be for me. I might want a delicious steak right now. That'd actually be really nice. With some prunes. No, that was bad. I'm sorry. That was really bad. I might want a steak right now because it's going to bring me a sense of satisfaction and joy. Or I might want to jump on a grenade. Not because it's going to do any good for me, but it might do good for you, for my comrade, for my brother, my sister. Desire is beautiful. Desire is awesome. Desire is like when you're really thirsty. Have you ever been just like so thirsty? Man, I was running one time in back home in Louisiana. I was in a cross-country race in high school, and it was the first cross-country race I had ever run in my life. And I did not have the proper training for this race. You know, when you run long distance, you need endurance. And at that time, I did not have endurance. But my coach was like, just do it. You'll be fine. He wasn't the best coach in the world. Didn't really encourage me to have like training, right? Didn't really encourage that. So I ran 3 miles, 3.2 miles actually. And I finished the race. And like the whole time I'm like using the saliva to like satisfy my thirst. You know when it gets that bad? You know what I'm talking about? That's where I was. And I'm running. And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I've got a headache. I'm like almost getting dizzy. I finish the race. I like fall on my knees, and one of my teammates is there. One of my good buddies. One of my good mates. Right, my good mates. And sorry, I'm trying. And I'm like, dude, I need some water. And he's like, get it yourself, man. He didn't understand like where I was. Like, no, please. So I crawl to this hose, and I have the hose, and I'm like watering myself like I'm a plant, and like drinking all this water. And then next thing I know, I pass out. I was so thirsty. And then my coach, like, I woke up. My coach had picked me up. Next thing I know, I'm on, like, an ambulance cart. And, like, there's, like, sirens. And there's probably, like, 1,000 students. Everyone's seeing me. This guy, this, like, you know, high school idiot. No training involved. Passing out from heat exhaustion. And my coach picked me up. And I'm like, get off me. I'm, like, cursing at him. And it was so bad. It was terrible. But my thirst, my desire to just be satisfied with some water was so great. And I feel like desire for you and me sometimes can be that great. At other times, it can be even greater. I feel like desire is also like the ocean, like the sea. You know, I don't know if any of you have taken a moment to walk out onto that little balcony right outside the cafeteria. But when you look at the ocean, aren't you just like ravished by it? Don't you just want to like obtain it? Don't you wish you could just take the magnitude of the ocean and just compress it and like put it in your pocket, take it with you wherever you went. So when someone like gets you mad, you're just like, oh, the ocean. Yes. I won't hit this person because I've got the ocean right here. The ocean's awesome. There's something about it that you never actually leave the ocean tired and worn out. It actually gives you more energy, and yet you play around in it all day. And the ocean is uncontrollable. At times, it is quite dangerous, treacherous even. A lot of people talk about the ocean as God. They compare it. God is like the ocean. Absolutely. I mean, the ocean is uncontainable. The ocean is vast, like the Lord's mercy. It's complex. It's intricate. It's beautiful, just like God. But remember, we are made in God's image and likeness. So we're like the ocean, too. Our desire, our heart is like the ocean. It's beautiful. It's awesome. But here's the thing. The ocean by itself can actually cause a lot of destruction. A tsunami can come in and take out everything. And we've seen that in our world. What virtue does is it creates a pathway for the waters, the raging waters of our desire. Virtue creates a pathway so that when that water comes in, it doesn't destroy. It retains its fury and its wildness, but it is directed. And we direct it towards God. And everything that we're called to on that path, on the way to God, comes with us. Maybe it's that delicious steak, but maybe it's a family. Maybe it's a wife or a husband or priesthood, religious life. You see, our desires are not bad. And this is the great misconception of chastity. Chastity is one of the most beautiful virtues and yet one of the most misunderstood virtues in the church. Chastity is the pathway for our sexual desire. It helps us to orient the desire that we all have towards heaven, towards God. Not being afraid of our desire. Too many people are afraid of their desire today. And there's one side of the pendulum, there's one side that's like repressed, like the church or and then my family, and everyone has been like, oh, when you have sexual desire, you gotta push that down, you gotta say no to that. No, 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 no. No sex, no love, no romance, no nothing. And then when you get married, pop that open and have a party, man. Jeez. That couldn't be further from the truth. So you have a bunch of people on one side who have been like pushing their desire down their whole life. But then you also have another side. You have another group of people who have also grown accustomed to not letting themselves desire, of being afraid to desire. Oh, man, I don't have to worry. No worries, mate. Right? Oh, I did that. That was good. Right? No worries. I'll just go by, get through life. I'll be fine. I'll get a job. Maybe I'll get married. It'll be okay. But this desire thing, it's not really a big deal for me. I don't really allow my... What? Desire is what makes us so human. Human desire is beautiful. I ask you this question. Do you desire? Are you in tune with your desires for love? Because we all desire love. Doesn't matter where you are at. We all desire love. Now, chastity, what chastity as a virtue does is it invites maturity into our sexuality. It's, in a sense, taking a lens by which we see a gift. If I put on chastity, just like I put on the armor of Christ and I put on the new man, if I put on the lens of chastity, I see everything as a gift, especially when it comes down to sexuality, manhood and womanhood. Beautiful. I love being a man. Men, do you love being men? Yes. Yes. Men, give me a man grunt on three. One, two, three. Ugh! Yes. Being a man is great. Ladies, give me a man grunt on three. Just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Chastity is all about inviting maturity into our sexuality, because when I, as a man, see a woman and I'm taken aback by her beauty, I'm ravished by her, I desire her even, that is not bad. God has authored my masculine heart. He has given me these desires, and they are far from bad. But just like the sea, which can be dangerous, those desires are dangerous. But they are not bad. I'm getting excited. Sorry, I have to like calm down. Let me look at my outline, make sure I'm at the right place. Yes, virtue and chastity makes a pathway for love. And I want to talk about chastity and actually like give you more of a definition for it so that we're all on the same playing field. You know, I will tell you that chastity does involve us to a certain degree saying no. Because if you're not married, chastity does mean that we save all sexually intimate acts for marriage. And there is a wide array of how to explain that. There's so many ways to explain that. It doesn't just mean no sex. But it is saying, I have not yet made the commitment of my entire life to you through the vows of marriage and with my body through sex, through the sexual act. And because I have not made that, I will save my gifts of sexuality for my spouse. I will wait. And waiting is not a bad thing. For us as men, chastity is a little different than what it looks like for women because we're just different. Amen? Amen. Men, we are men. I love to be a man. The ladies, at least in America, I don't know what it's like here in Australia, but in America, like, girls love to, like, go out together and get their nails painted and get their toes done. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get my nails painted. I don't want to get my toes done. I want to, like, find a bear in the wilderness and punch it in the face and, like, rip out its heart and eat it. Because we're men and it's awesome, you know? But here's the beautiful thing about chastity. Chastity allows us men to be good at being a man. Chastity allows you to be good at being a man. You see, we as men, we have a little bit more natural strength than our female counterpart. And that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean women are inferior and not strong. Ladies, you're very strong. But we as men have that strength, and we're supposed to use that for your good. Well, chastity says, I will use my strength to show a woman that she is treasured, reverenced, respected. That I won't be in a friendship or a relationship with any lady because I want something. No, it's because I want to serve. I want to honor. So that one day, through a life of training to be a man of sacrifice, I will be able to be that man for my wife forever until I die. This is the training ground for sainthood. It's beautiful. It's awesome. When I think of masculinity, real manhood, lived through the life of chastity, I think of someone like Aslan from Narnia, yes. Have any of you either read or seen the movies? Some of you have. If you haven't, Aslan is the king lion. He's a beast. He's wild. He's awesome. He's amazing. He comes to the rescue all the time. And there's this one scene where one of the girls hears that Aslan's coming, and she's like, oh, Aslan. That's the lion, right? And the beaver guy's like, yes, the lion. And she's like, oh, well, is he safe? And the beaver says, what? Of course Aslan is not safe, but he's good. You see, as men, we are very dangerous. How do I recover from that? I'll say it again. Men are dangerous. Yes, brother. Yes. Without a virtue like chastity, helping us to perfect our desires and to orient them towards the good and towards God, we can cause a lot of destruction. And we see this in our culture through the degradation and disrespect of the feminine genius, of the beauty of femininity. We see this through lust, which is the opposite, the vice of this virtue of chastity. Lust is sexual greed. And it comes in many forms. It comes from using a woman or pressuring a woman, maybe if we're in a relationship, to commit sexually intimate acts that we are not ready for because we're not married. It means crossing that line. At times, it means using something like pornography to help us in our sexual impurity. This is what a life of not living virtue does to us. You know, vice comes from the word vicious. Vicious? No one wants to be vicious, but pornography is vicious. Sexual impurity is vicious. It destroys men, and it destroys relationships. And so when I talk about chastity for us as men, it means when we use that lens of the gift, we see every single woman as a gift, as something to be treasured and reverenced and respected. So that when we do commit ourselves to a relationship, we have already trained ourselves to see this woman as a gift. And when one day, God willing, we're married, we're able to see this woman, my spouse, as a gift, and our children as gifts, whose mission the mission which I have taken on to get them to heaven. This is amazing. So now I would actually like to invite Katie up for a few minutes so that she can actually direct the same beautiful virtue and talk to you ladies about it, because you ladies are awesome. Oh.
Thanks, Lamar. I'm a typical girl. I have to bring 500 things with me everywhere I go. That's why I have the massive purse over here. So talking about the deepest desires of our human hearts at 9:30 in the morning, everyone's favorite, right? I'm just kidding. But I love talking about chastity. And there are many, many different reasons why. One of which being that I personally came from a horrible misconception of chastity growing up and have learned and encountered the truth. And been completely liberated by it. Just a quick story for you to kind of show you where I was coming from. I was taught about chastity in a certain sense growing up. I wasn't allowed to date until I was 16, and I was, you know, my parents were very strict about my friendships with boys and stuff like that. Well, one day I was hanging out with a boy that I liked in high school, and I came home and my mom knew that I liked him. And my mom is a wonderful, amazing, adorable woman. And she said, "So how was it?" And I said, "It was good." And she said, "Did you kiss him?" And I was like, "No, mom." And then she looks, "Did you want to kiss him?" And I was like, "No, like, leave me alone." And I like slammed my door and ran to my room. And of course that's silly, right? But I did want him to kiss me, okay? 16-year-old Katie wanted that boy to kiss her. Looking back now, I'm glad that he didn't. But I tell you that story because what that did to me, what little conversations and comments like that did to me, was to tell me that that desire I had was something that I should not have, that I should set aside, repress, for lack of a better word. And how binding is that? One of the big reservations I hear from, especially from young girls even, when we talk about chastity, is that it's boring. The chastity is for boring people. It's like, no dating, no boys, no fun, stay home on weekends, what else are you supposed to do? One time I had a high school girl say, like, "So with this chastity thing, what are you supposed to do on a date?" Isn't that sad that we've equated love with sex so closely that we can't come up with other ways to love? There are a million different ways that we're called to love and be loved within this realm of chastity. And it's only through this lens that chastity gives us that we really, truly have the freedom to love and be loved truly and deeply and passionately and freely and with our whole selves and the depths of our being. And speaking as a woman, I can't speak entirely for you guys as men from experience, but I think that you can relate to this as well. There's not one of us here that doesn't want to be loved well, or to be loved passionately or deeply, or to be known and valued. I do think there's something about women that we are a little bit more in tune with that deep desire for specifically for relationship than man. And that's a very good thing. It also could be a very difficult thing. In fact, if we look at the story of the fall in Genesis, when God was telling Adam and Eve the different punishments that we would naturally have from the sin that we committed, God said to Eve, "You will pine for your husband." I bet just about any lady in here could relate to that deep, that pining for a relationship, that pining for love, that the way that we desire and we reach out because we have this deep well within us that we just want filled. And that's not a bad thing, that desire that we have. It's not a bad thing at one single bit. We as women, we want to be loved, we want to be seen, we want to be noticed, we want to be beheld and delighted in as beautiful. And all of these things are good, good things that when directed and ordered, put in order by the virtue of chastity, can lead us to the greatest freedom and happiness. But when twisted and turned in upon ourselves, can leave us miserable and hurt and broken. So how do we get to that place, especially in a world with so many pressures on us as women and on the men? There's so many things that drive us apart and keep us from valuing and delighting in one another. How do we overcome that and love? It's not an easy feat. I want to speak just a little bit about love. In further clarifying the correction to the misconception that chastity is boring when we talk about loving well, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room that's ever been in the place of, like St. Augustine, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. Like, I just want to have fun right now." That misconception that love is too safe. I think Lamar was talking about men are dangerous. Even though that was funny, there's a truth to that. And I think that's why so many girls fall for the bad guy. I had a friend once ask me, "Why do girls always want the bad guys? I'm trying so hard to be a good man and respectful, but the girls always want the guys that don't respect them as much." And that's a great question, isn't it? Why do girls want the bad guys? And I'm not justifying, you know, girls who want to be with men who don't respect or value them. But there's something to that. Because there's something about the uncontrollableness, not a word, but I just used it, of a man and of love. We don't want to be totally in control when it comes to love. We want to be consumed. We want to be ravished. And that's what love is. In fact, love, by its very nature, in all of its different forms, naturally, when it's pure and true, leads us to want to lay down our whole lives. Right? Ultimately, that's what a vocation is, right? The total loss of your life for love. Willingly laying it down. But it's something that we're called to do in little tiny ways every single day, to die to ourselves than love. What's more dangerous and treacherous to the self than death? Especially death for love. But for the lover, what is sweeter than death for the beloved? And that is what chastity asks us to do. So when we talk about chastity, especially as the Culture Project, and as individuals whose lives have been changed and touched by this message, when we talk about chastity, what we want to do is not tell you, you know, this is how you are supposed to live your life. This is what you need to do. This is what you should not do. This is what you definitely should not do. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to invite you into something beautiful. Because that's what it's all about. That's what virtue is. It's a yes that involves no's, but a yes. The key to this virtue is is to put on that lens, like Lamar was saying, the lens that allows us to see the value of ourselves and of another person as a gift. Father, the other night, the first night we were here, so beautiful, he had this line that he spoke that just pierced my heart. He said, I have the choice every single day with the gift of my existence that God has given me of whether I'm going to choose to make my existence a gift to others. That's it. I think that is the key to the life of virtue, and especially to the life of virtuous love. Because each of us, in our own way, in our many different ways, in our many individual vocations, and then all the other vocations that the vocation word tends to be a sensitive topic, and at least for me. But when we talk about vocations, we are ultimately at the bottom of that is it's how you are going to be a lover. You are called to be a lover. And the lover beholds the beloved as a gift. The moment that took chastity for me as an individual and made it real and made it click was a moment in college. And I have a feminine heart that loves love and loves to be loved. And I was struggling with some guy, and you know, things were not working out. And there's this beautiful tension in every, I think, in many male-female relationships that's a tension where you almost want to have the person you love for yourself, you know, forever. And there's beauty in that, but we have to be careful with it. And I had a professor who I got to take a class on the theology of the body in college. And my professor said this simple, simple phrase that has completely changed everything about the way I see people in the world. He said, your job is to see every person you encounter as a gift, particularly when we're talking about looking at the gift of a person of the opposite sex. You need to look at them even more as a gift, but maybe not a gift ultimately for you. So there is nothing wrong with appreciating the beauty of another person. There's no, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to marry that person. I can't look at them. I can't think that they're beautiful. I can't find them attractive. No. And that's what chastity does for us, is when that strength, those strong waters of desire crash over us, if we are virtuous and we're striving to be strong, we're not knocked down and destroyed and overtaken by those desires, but rather we can be blessed by them. The more pure we become, the more virtuous of lovers that we are, the more quickly and radically and the more often we'll fall in love. Which could sound scary for many of us, because love is scary. But what a great gift to be able to fall in love with the people that your God has created you to be madly in love with. And so when it comes to chastity and love and relationships, it's never about the, you know, what can I do? How can I get away with what I want? How can I, you know, when it comes to physical chastity, how can I push boundaries and how far can I go until I'm sinning or until I'm taking advantage of someone? But rather, how greatly and passionately and strongly can I love this person? How can I show them how much they are worth to me? Often that comes out in sacrifice, those little deaths to self. But again, those are sweet when they come for love. And so this capability that we have as men and women to love is not just in our hearts and our emotions, but it's also written, etched into our bodies, in what makes us man and in what makes us woman. We have this unique, amazing capability to speak a language with our bodies. And even in simple things, if I were to come and shake someone's hand, you guys don't shake his hands as, can I shake your hand? Thank you. You guys don't shake hands as much as we do in America. But if I were to shake your hand, that speaks a language. It speaks, hello, it's nice to meet you. We're acquainted. We're good. We're friends. If I were to give someone a hug, that speaks a language to them. You matter to me, right? I feel affection towards you. When I go home for Christmas in a couple of weeks back to the States and I run into my house and I see my mom and I say, Mom, I've missed you so much. And then if I were to punch her in the face, that wouldn't be the appropriate thing to speak with my body, right? No, there would be a disintegration there. What I want to speak and what my heart is saying would be completely divorced from what my body is speaking. And what an abuse. And of course, I would never ever punch my mom in the face. But when it comes to love and relationships, we have the privilege with our bodies of being able to speak a language of love. And that's a powerful thing. And that's why when two people get married, their marriage is not completely valid until they have consummated it, until their bodies have spoken the language that their words have spoken as they stood before the altar and before their loved ones and professed their love publicly. When two people have sex, their bodies are literally speaking to one another the marriage vow. I give myself totally to you, completely. I give you everything, the good time, the good things about me, the bad things about me. You say, I'm going to be there. I am here. In good times when we're sick, if you're healthy, if we lose all our money, if you get hit by a bus and I have to push you in a wheelchair, if you have a bad hair day every day for 5 years, I'm going to be here, right? That's what our two people's bodies speak when they have sex, which is why sex is made for marriage. And what a great, great privilege that not only do we have this capability, but we have this natural inborn desire for it. When we fall to that idea that we're supposed to repress that desire, that's not for me right now, therefore I should not desire it, I can only picture our Lord being like, why? It's a good thing. I don't want you to be overtaken by that desire, but rather to stand in awe of it, of the great gift that it is, that you are. Because we have this ability, this great gift to speak such a language of truth and love with our bodies. And that's really the key to chastity, really, is speaking truth, is integrating what's in our hearts and our intentions with the way that we act, the way we live, the way that we love. And because we have this ability, this privilege of being able to speak such truth with our bodies and our words, we also have the freedom to use our bodies to speak untruth. And not just our bodies, our emotions. This is where we have to check ourselves. Am I loving? Am I desiring what's best for my beloved? Am I willing to do what's best for my beloved, even if it's costly to me? Or am I so overtaken by my desire that I'm willing to sacrifice the good of another to get what I want, to fill that well? And sometimes this does come with physical impurity. Sometimes this does come with physical use. When it comes to sexuality, we call use lust. It also happens in our emotions. Especially for women. And I think this is good for the men to know that as women, we are so much more emotionally driven. That sometimes our lust is a little more sneaky, right? It's that desire to be emotionally filled. Like, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll use someone's attention to make me feel loved or valued, right? Again, a good desire twisted and used for the self. And these are the things we have to be diligent and vigilant. I just combined those two words. Diligent and vigilant about. So in everything we ask, am I living my ability, my capacity to love through my sexuality deeply every day, married or not? Am I loving in the right way that I, as a woman, am called to love today? Or am I using that ability to speak untruth? I want to thank you for your attention, and we're going to have more time to delve more deeply into these topics a little bit after this talk, and then tomorrow morning even. So I'm going to ask Lamar to come back up here and finish up, and then we're going to have some time that we're available to you for Q&A, but I just want to thank you for listening.
Thanks, Katie. Praise God. So we are actually, you know, we started a little bit later, so we're running tight on time. But in closing, I just want to say a few things. I hope that it's been clear that chastity in its beauty is not just something that you just say, I'm going to do this, and then that's it, and it becomes like this easy thing to live out. It's a daily decision. Chastity is a daily decision. Sometimes it's a decision minute by minute. It is very difficult. It is an art. Living chastity is an art. And it demands much training and many practicals. And so tomorrow, we actually have a blessing to spend time. I'll be spending time with just the dudes tomorrow, men. And Katie will be hanging out with you ladies. And that's going to be our opportunity to actually dive deeper into concrete ways of living this message out. Because it sounds beautiful. I hope it sounded beautiful to you. I hope it sounded appealing and transformational and that you might want it a little bit more. But tomorrow we're actually going to talk about how to do it. How to try to live a life of purity and chastity out of love for ourselves, the dignity of our sexuality, and of those around us. But now let us close with a prayer. Please stand. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room. I thank you for calling all of us to be here, that no matter how we got here, Lord, whether intentionally or by accident or by chance, you have asked us and called us to be here at this place, at this time, to hear this message. Lord, we invite you into our sexuality. We invite you into our desires. We ask you to help us to be stronger men and women, to live out all the virtues that we've been learning about this weekend and will continue to learn about the rest of the weekend. You would give us the energy, the passion, and the desire to live them out greater and greater each day. We pray this in your name and through your mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you guys so much. God bless you.
That was a talk by Lamar Edwards and Katie Payne on the virtue of chastity. For more from Eyewitness 2014, visit cradio.org.au.